Would it be crazy to enjoy more love in your life in under 60 minutes? Welcome to the Love with Intelligence radio show. I am your host, Lily Wolford, an international relationship and dating coach, and I have supported thousands of people like you to enjoy real, honest, and genuine love that lasts, using behavioral psychology, body language, profiling, and so much more. Join us now as we dive into the deepest topics about love, dating, heartbreaks, and relationships.
Hello and welcome. So today I want to dive into the spark, because everyone talks about, you know, the spark and chemistry and all those different juicy things when it comes to meeting the right kind of person or meeting someone that you feel that you really connect with and you feel like there is potential. And I think one thing that tends to stand out a lot when it comes to people feeling that level of spark with someone is there is a level of intimacy, there's a level of understanding, there's a level of attraction, there's a level of respect, there's an alignment on values, and there's also that beautiful feeling of that sexual chemistry. Because at the end of the day, you know, you want to be able to enjoy all aspects of a great relationship. And it was really funny because I was chatting to one of my clients recently about a date that he'd been on. And he was saying about how easy it was being with that person because it was just a first date, that just recently met each other. And it was like easy to be with them. You know, they enjoyed this level of humor. They found that the date went so fast. I think he mentioned that they didn't get back, you know, he didn't get back until like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, when we go on those dates and we just feel like, oh my gosh, where did the time go? And the funny thing is that this is something that I hear again and again and again when there's that high level of chemistry and a high level of spark. You know, there's that level of enjoyment of just being around that person and interacting with that person. So what I wanted to dive into today is actually talk a little bit about the spark. What is it? How is it created? And, you know, what's really important when it comes to a relationship and having that spark, that level of chemistry? And is there another thing that you need other than that spark? I'll give you a hint. Yes, you definitely need something else, and we'll dive into that throughout the podcast today. So I just want to explore this, you know, the spark aspect as well, because a lot of people tend to say, oh, I'm going to completely avoid the spark because that's the thing that got me in trouble last time. The truth is, it's the spark. It's there to be enjoyed. It's not something that's going to cause you to go into the wrong kind of relationship or anything like that. The reason why most people, fall into the wrong kind of relationship or feel that they've been hurt by the spark in the past is, and this is the missing ingredient to the right kind of relationship, is compatibility. You know, we talk about compatibility lots and lots and lots and lots. You can have that chemistry, you can have that attraction, you can have, you know, that alignment of values and that respect for each other and the, you know, the masculine and feminine dynamic and all this kind of stuff. But if there's no compatibility there, then it's basically like a car crash waiting to happen. You know, it's something that's, you know, that you know in the back of your mind is going to end at any second, any given moment. It's like, how can you feel safe within that? So it's almost like discovering, are you dating from a place of the adrenaline junkie where you're just searching for that spark and any spark will do? Or are you dating in a healthy, enjoyable way where you can actually enjoy the spark and you can enjoy the prospect of having a long-term relationship and knowing that you're not going to go into something that's going to end in a matter of seconds, days, you know, minutes, months, weeks, who knows? It's almost like having a ticking time bomb and not knowing when it's going to go off. So the thing is, when we talk about chemistry as well, there's something that's really important to have established when you are looking for healthy chemistry. And you might have heard that I mentioned respect comes into that spark. Because, you know, when we talk about, I hear so many coaches anyway, talk about masculine and feminine dynamics. I personally cringe whenever I hear anything about the masculine and feminine dynamics. I will be completely open and honest about that. Because I don't believe the way that most people talk about it is necessarily true. And I believe that it actually creates people to act out of character in order to fit into the narrative of what the perfect masculine and feminine dynamic looks like. I think I just don't believe not being genuine and true to yourself is the best way to enter the right kind of relationship. So the way I kind of describe it is when you get that spark, and that's when the so-called masculine feminine dynamic is right, it's actually realizing that you're both equals. And I'll let that sink in for a minute. It's knowing that you're both equals. So one thing that's really, really important in a relationship is knowing that you can trust each other and that you both have ownership over your life. So usually when the, I'm going to do air quotes, masculine and feminine dynamic is off, it's usually because someone has to fall into the caregiver or parental role rather than, someone who is an equal in that relationship. And if you think about it, if you feel like you've got to take care of someone, how can you enjoy chemistry? It totally knocks that chemistry and that spark out of the relationship. Because, you know, if you think about it, if you're in caring, nurturing, I'll do this, I'll take care of that mode, you're not in the mode to be able to enjoy your sexuality. You're not in the mood to be able to enjoy sexual intimacy. And, you know, that spark is about feeling that enjoyment around sexual attraction, about emotional attraction, about mental attraction, physical attraction, all these wonderful things. But you can't be in that mode if you're taking care of someone. You can't fully respect someone if you're in that mode of respect, you know, having to, you know, take care of someone. And it's not to say that you're never going to be in a position where you have to take care of a partner. You know, that those things happen. But it's more about if that's where your relationship is actually built on, well, that's going to put a lot of strain on the relationship and it's going to actually dampen your sex life. So when we talk about creating that spark, it's saying, are you a whole individual? You know, are you confident? Have you gone through that level of self-acceptance and feeling comfortable with who you are? And also, do you feel comfortable with yourself where your value as a person isn't dependent on someone else's opinion of who you are? And something I find again and again and again is there's so many people out there who can only feel good if someone has shared a compliment or something positive about them. And the moment that someone shares something negative or criticizes them anyway, it's like, wow, they totally lose themselves. They lose their confidence. They lose their self-worth. And they go into this cycle of actually going, oh, is there something wrong with me? And the truth is, if you are fully confident within yourself and who you are and what makes you happy and what makes you sad and what you want out of life and what, you know, direction your life is going in, and the fact that because you know that you're actually living a life that you enjoy as a single person, and it's not dependent of going, you know, your happiness is not dependent in going into a relationship or not. Because the other thing is we're talking about the avoidance of codependency. There's no spark in codependency. So you want to avoid that at all costs. Codependency is not healthy. I'm just putting it out there. So the thing is, I want you to actually think about the time when you really had that spark with someone. Okay, I really want you to just dive into that. and just sort of bring that memory to the forefront if you've ever experienced that. Now, one thing that I'm going to sort of say is, did you feel like you needed to take lead in that situation? Did you feel like you had to look after someone? Did you feel like you had to wait for someone to take lead or care for you in some sort of way? No. And it's about being in that space where you are an individual, where you feel confident. Because the funny thing is, you know, when we're in that juicy, sparky stage, we feel confident, we feel accepted, we feel understood, we feel seen. And, you know, we feel admired and desired. And we're in that mode of desiring as well. You know, that's the beauty of that spark. It's feeling good about yourself. It's feeling good about that connection. And it's feeling good exploring that. And, you know, that's what the right relationship creates. You know, that's the right relationship creates that kind of dynamic where you're able to fully enjoy that, fully explore that, and just enjoy it. And the thing is, when you're in that stage, you're not focused on an outcome. You're not focused on, oh, I can only feel good if things go this way. Or, oh gosh, I'm going to feel really bad if they suddenly dislike me. We're not in that mode. We're not in that over-analytical mode. We're present. We're also not in the mode of, oh gosh, my ex this, my ex that. No chemistry or passion has been created from those conversations, I assure you. So, you know, it's about being present and being fully comfortable with you and your life. So let's kind of sort of talk a little bit about the compatibility side, because, you know, I've mentioned this before about compatibility and the importance of that for a long-term relationship, because the truth is, you know, sparks are great, chemistry is great, but what most people are looking for is a long-term relationship that they feel safe in. And they enjoy the juiciness of being desired, desiring their partner, and building a life together. Building something where they have that aligned value, that aligned goals, the aligned beliefs, that they're almost, you know, reading from the same rule book of life. And that's so important. Because the thing is, you know, when we're talking about a healthy relationship, it's knowing that you're both moving in the same direction. You're wanting similar things. You have similar expectations of each other. Because usually, you know, most conflicts and things like that usually come about from having very different expectations, very different communication styles, you know, acting from very different places. And don't get me wrong, you know, some of that can be absolutely fantastic because you learn more about each other, you learn more about yourselves, and it's a space to be able to grow as well. But overall, I'd say you want 80%, you know, you want to have that level of compatibility because you can enjoy, you know, enjoy each other, enjoy creating that life together with the 20% of exploration and understanding each other and given that space to be able to grow. Because the beauty is, different people always bring different viewpoints, different things for you to be able to learn more about yourself, learn more about other people, and also what you want out of life. We're never going to be able to have that without human interaction. So with that, I kind of want to go a little bit into self-acceptance, because I think you can kind of gather that a spark is really hard to cultivate from having a lack of self-acceptance. You can't go into a situation and enjoy the spark when you're going, oh gosh, have they noticed this about me? Do they like this about me? And oh, I'm feeling really, you know, worried about what they're thinking about this or whatever it might be. And what if happens if they don't like that? And if I say that I don't like this, are they going to disregard me? There's none of that when it comes to chemistry, you know, because most people are fully accepting of who they are. Now, self-acceptance, it tends to be this topic that most people sort of gloss over a little bit, because the truth is, you know, self-acceptance is going to mean very different things to different people. And ultimately, it's being real with yourself. It's being true to yourself of what you're actually accepting. You know, are you accepting your bad temper? Are you accepting how well you've done in your career? Are you accepting that, you know, you're quite a polite person? Are you accepting that you only want an exclusive relationship? You know, it's kind of looking at these things and even looking at the things that might deviate from normality. So, you know, it might be something like, you know, for, you know, accepting that, you know, you're an entrepreneur rather than working in corporate. You know, it might be that you're accepting that, you know, just anything that you feel deviates from the social norms. It might be that you believe in aliens and you love looking into that kind of thing. You know, are you accepting of that? Are you accepting of a birthmark that you don't really want people to see? You know, it's really understanding you, feeling into the truth of who you are. And I'd almost go to the extremity of saying that, and you love that. You love yourself fully, you know, warts and all. You know, it's appreciating you and your journey and everything that you've been through, and feeling comfortable with your mind. Because it's quite interesting. I was chatting to a friend of mine. He's a mentor of mine, Chris Hadnagy, and you know, we were talking about the importance of avoiding like manipulation. Okay, because you know what we tend to do, like, there's always situations where we can be manipulated, and the only way that we can truly be manipulated is by not really understanding our beliefs and where we stand on certain things. And I think self-acceptance is a very similar thing. You know, it's being able to actually understand your own viewpoint of yourself and feel comfortable with that before someone else steps in. You know, for example, I was vegetarian for 13 years. And, you know, using that as an example, it's like, cool, you know, when I was vegetarian, it's like being able to fully accept that when I'm eating at a table with people who ate meat. You know, it's not a big deal if I feel comfortable with myself. It's not going to insult me with people eating meat in front of me. It's not going to insult me if they ask questions of why I'm vegetarian, or, you know, going into those different things. It's being comfortable with that. And I believe that people haven't really, you know, many people haven't really discovered or deep dived onto certain aspects of their personality that they don't really feel good about. You know, it can even be down to things like hobbies and interests and all those bits and pieces. Because deep down, you know, we're not a carbon copy of each other. We're all very, very, very different. We have very different interests. We have different ways of looking at the world. And the beauty of this is that, you know, by interacting with each other, we can grow even more because we're having different viewpoints and different perspectives being shown to us through connecting. So it's feeling comfortable with you. I was chatting to another client the other day, and she got quite upset because one of her friends had shared that they felt that she was arrogant. And she felt really hurt by this. And understandably, you know, who wants to be called arrogant? You know, that's not exactly the nice sort of friend thing that someone would say. But it's kind of being able to know enough about yourself to say, okay, am I arrogant? Is that actually a part of my personality? Yes or no? And if it is, do I feel comfortable with that being a part of my personality? Or is that something that I want to change? Or if it's not a part of your personality at all, then it's being able to say, okay, well, that's not who I am. Can I explore a little bit more, please? What makes you believe that I am arrogant? You know, being able to explore that from a non-defensive place as well. It's being curious. Because the more that you're able to actually learn about yourself and feel comfortable with that, you know, the less likely you're going to be insulted. The less likely that you're going to feel dependent on other people's views about you to actually feel good about yourself. And that's when you get to that place of being able to enjoy more spark within relationships. Because when you're in that place and you've met someone else who feels fully confident and fully acceptant, you know, fully accepting of who they are, then it's just magical. Because you're not looking to change yourself. You're not looking to change them. You're just looking to enjoy the moment together that you're spending. You're enjoying that connection. And it's not from a place of feeling insecure. It's feeling confident and good and accepting of who you are. And, you know, obviously when you have that, when you feel that acceptance, you've got confidence. And when you've got confidence, it's easier to have that mutual respect that we were talking about that creates that chemistry. You know, we were talking about the masculine and feminine dynamic. You know, that's, to me, it's respect for one another. You know, knowing that you're equals, not parent-child or, you know, caregiver and, you know, and victim. So you want to be able to feel like you're both on the same wavelength. And the other thing is, you know, if we're talking about longevity, we're looking at values. We're looking at, you know, shared humour. I mean, another person I was speaking to, they were saying about a date that they went on and they loved that they both had this dark, quick-witted sense of humour. So I believe with the spark, it's feeling that level of self-acceptance for yourself. And it's feeling understood and feeling seen and feeling accepted. Because when we feel fully accepting of ourselves, we don't feel afraid of sharing that. We don't feel afraid of sharing who we are. And when we're able to share who we are, it's easier to connect. We're not obsessed with hiding it. And I don't mean, you know, when we talk about sharing who we are, to share the most vulnerable thing with just anyone. Because, of course, that's dangerous. But it's feeling comfortable with knowing yourself enough to know if you are sharing something with the right person or not. Knowing if there's someone in your life that's actually sharing, you know, when you're sharing something with them, that they are respectful of that. You know, going back to that respect and seeing each other as equals. And if you've found yourself in a dynamic of sharing things with potentially dangerous people or people who don't really care for you or don't really respect you, then it's important to actually dive into your childhood and having a look at different scenarios in your life where that pattern has been prevalent. Maybe you've been in a narcissistic relationship. And, you know, you've overshared and that was something that was used against you. Because that happens a lot in narcissistic relationships. It could be growing up with a very critical parent. But all these different things, especially childhood. If you've grown up with a critical parent, I can guarantee that you'll have a very critical mind. You'll also have very critical friends. And you've probably been in relationships that were highly critical of you too. So, and when that happens, we tend to look outside ourselves to basically say, okay? Am I acting in the right way? And we're looking for that permission to be ourselves, which is very, very interesting. So let's kind of talk a little bit about attraction as well, because attraction is very interesting. And of course, it's really important when it comes to that spark. But attraction, it does happen on a multitude of levels. You know, we've obviously got that physical attraction. You know, do we feel physically attracted to a certain individual? And the thing is, you know, yes, you can feel attracted to someone physically, but if they haven't got the right personality, if they've got, if they're really arrogant, or if they're just rude, or something like that, or, you know, they believe in something that's important to you, but they believe the complete opposite, you know, that can be such a mood killer. That can be such, you know, it can be a complete turn off. Someone who's highly attractive physically, but not with that alignment. Can be such a turn-off. So it's not just physical attraction we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, emotional attraction. We're talking about mental attraction as well as physical attraction. So, you know, when I talk about mental attraction, it's feeling like someone is on, you know, the similar, you know, similar level of intelligence as you. Because there's nothing worse than talking to someone who's, you know, less intelligent than you, and noticeably so, or someone that's super, super intelligent, more intelligent than you are, and feeling that disconnect. So this is why I'm talking about equals. Equals is just so, you know, being an equal in a relationship is so important for us to feel comfortable and at ease. And then we have that emotional attraction. You know, do we feel the ability to be emotionally open with someone and emotionally vulnerable? And do we feel that emotional vulnerability is being fully respected and cared for? And a lot of that is to do with emotional intelligence. You know, is someone emotionally intelligent enough to be able to read you and understand you, to know what's the right thing to do, to allow you to feel safe to be able to share? And I think this is, again, something that a lot of people get wrong. I don't believe there's many emotionally intelligent people in the world, because I think we're so focused on things like, I think a lot of people are so focused on things like showing up on social media and creating this very superficial life and superficial vision of themselves and this superficial identity, that there's nothing emotional to actually connect to, because they're placing value on, what they own, how they look, who they know. And it's like, ugh, how can you actually connect with that? I mean, the funny thing is, I understand where that comes from, because I've been there in the past. You know, if I think about myself when I was in my early 20s, I was so focused on being accepted, but for superficial reasons. It was like, okay, I'll go and buy the nice clothes. I'll go and buy Ted Baker, Karen Millen, or, you know, some really nice pieces. So I'll always make sure my hair looked nice. My makeup would always be pristine. I remember when I went and brought, bright red BMW. It was a very nice car, but it stood out. It was like freaking, you know, it made me feel good because, you know, it was something that looked nice and it kept with my superficial image. But what I was actually terrified of, and I mean terrified, was emotionally connecting with someone and being hurt and being rejected. And this is why I keep going back to self-acceptance. Because the truth is, if you fully accept yourself, and you really, really accept who you are, you can't really be hurt by rejection. Think about that. If you feel good about who you are as a person, let's say that one of your values as a person is how compassionate you are. And you feel comfortable with that. You feel good about being compassionate. You feel good about, you know, you accept that part of yourself. Like, yes, I am compassionate. I am a compassionate person. And you act in line with that. And that feels good to you. What if someone turns around to you and says, I don't like you because you're too compassionate? Can you really feel bad about that? Do you feel rejected about that? No, because you fully own and you feel good about that part of you. Now, you know, if someone says something on the lines of, I don't feel good, you know, I'm rejecting you because you're too sensitive. So that's something that I've been called in the past. And yes, I believe a part of my personality can be a little bit sensitive. I own that. I understand it. Doesn't mean that I have to act in an overly sensitive way. I'm just aware of it. I've accepted a part of that part of me and a part of my healing journey.
If someone says, I don't like you because you're overly sensitive, because I've actually owned that part of myself, I can shrug that off. Because the thing is, and this is quite the trippy part of rejection, is can we really, you know, feel rejected by someone who doesn't want to be around us, or doesn't want the best for us, or doesn't want us to feel good? Can we feel rejected by someone who doesn't want to accept us for who we really are? And this is the thing. You know, when we talk about self-acceptance, when you fully own that, it means that you are no longer surrounding yourself with people who want to change you. You know, you're no longer surrounded by people who says, I think you should do this, or I think, you know, you should be less this. It stops. Because you feel confident within who you are. And think about it. You know, can you have chemistry with someone who's asking permission to you to be themselves? Do you mind if I do this? Do you mind? Is this okay? Do you think I'm confident enough? Can you feel spark with that? No. No, you can't. So it's understanding who you are, feeling that level of self-acceptance, and meeting someone who's also at that level as well, at that level where that is equal to you. And then if you want a long-term relationship, you know, focus on compatibility, because that's important. I mean, I remember speaking to Jenny, and, you know, Jenny had gone through, I believe it was 3 divorces. And, you know, as you can imagine, like, what most people actually don't understand is with divorce, the first, if you're divorced one time, is something like, was it 51% chance of getting divorced when you get married? But if you get divorced a second or a third time with different people, the likelihood of you getting divorced increases with every divorce. And drastically so. So, which is quite crazy. I think something like when you look at the divorce rates for people that have been married 3 times, I think it's something like 70% chance of them getting divorced again, which is quite scary. But but with Jenny, she'd gone through 3 divorces. We worked together and she ended up like completely changing her life. She'd end up moving states because she's over in America, you know, rebuilt her life. And when she met her partner, one of the things that she said, and I freaking love this, is because they fully knew who they were. You know, she knew who she was, he knew who he was, and they were on a level of being equals. She said this beautiful thing of, it didn't feel like I had to translate my soul. And it's like, wow. You know, experiencing that level of understanding, that level of connection. And that's to me, is what that spark is. That spark of being seen, that spark of being understood, and that spark of actually being present to be able to fully enjoy that. And you might have realized that I've said being present. Because when we're not present, we can't enjoy what's right in front of us. And there's a few reasons behind being so past focused or so future focused. And it's all about self-protection when we start really looking into it. But when people are so focused on the past, there tends to be this thing around, you know, people tend to experience a lot of depression. When they're very past focus, they focus on the good times, all the things that they missed, all the bad experiences that they've gone through. And depending on what they're focusing on, so if they're focusing on something that was really bad and they've gone through a traumatic experience or gone through a breakup or something that they're still trying to process in their minds,
what they'll be doing is they'll be going over that again and again and again and again and again and again, because they're still trying to work out how to prevent that in the future. And also, it's because they might have not forgiven themselves for what happened. They might feel that they're blaming themselves. They might feel like they did something wrong and they're trying to figure out how to change that in the future. And when you think about that, does that person have a level of self-acceptance? No. You know, self-acceptance can't exist if we need to forgive ourselves. Because it means that if we haven't forgiven a certain aspect of our life, it means that we haven't fully owned it and we haven't fully accepted what's happened, who we are, and also that we're human. And that's something that's really important. You know, we talk about these superficial layers, and it's like, you know, most people don't feel that they can actually accept that they're human, that they're going to make mistakes, that not everything's going to be sunshines, rainbows, and lollipops. Because the truth is, when we go through the most pain, it's often the time when we go through the most level of growth, because pain inspires growth. And also, it helped that usually when we go through pain, we decide to take a step back and look inwards, and we learn more about ourselves and what we want, and how, you know, what we want differently for our lives. So without those mistakes, without going through pain, we would never really grow or feel inspired to grow. And the thing is, it doesn't matter what mistakes we make in our life. It's what we do with them. You know, if we're going through the same pattern again and again and again and again and again, and we're choosing that, well, yeah, there's something wrong. And if you're not willing to address it, then, you know, yeah, you know, we can't go through that level of self-acceptance that you want better for your life, that you want to be able to enjoy yourself more and to be able to give yourself something good, because we're entering the area of self-sabotage. So, you know, this is where it becomes really important to be present. Ask yourself, are you living your best life? Are you feeling good about life at the moment? Are you feeling good about your love life? Are you feeling good in your life in general? And that kind of throws me over to the future. If you're so focused on the future and you can't be present, well, that often brings up so much anxiety. Depending on how you're looking at the future, you're going to be either looking at worst case scenarios and how terrible this is going to be and how terrible that's going to be, or you're so focused on the goals that any goal that you actually go ahead and achieve, you're like, meh, what's next? What's next? What's next? And you're always living from that kind of space of, you know, am I progressing? What's next? What can I do? And, you know, kind of always focusing on other people, usually, or focusing on empty goals empty goals that you feel you need to achieve in order to meet other people's expectations, because there's not that level of self-acceptance. So coming back there again. So if you're constantly looking at the future and you're constantly thinking about what's next or the worst case scenario, allow yourself to stop. Allow yourself to sit still. Get away from your phone. Get away from your TV. And sit still. And train yourself to do that. Train yourself to sit for 1 minute and just feel. And breathe. Because I can almost guarantee, for those type of people that are so future focused, their breath and their chest, they're probably going to feel so much pressure on their chest, they're going to feel almost a little bit discomfort in their body, because they're always on the go, that they've never sat still to actually feel what's going on with their body. Often in the background, there's a level of sadness because they're just trying to keep busy to avoid it, because they haven't fully accepted who they are and they're always acting in accordance with someone else. Now, looking at people who are focused on the past and present, just bringing you back to the spark, does that create the energy to be in that's going to create that spark, that's going to create that intimacy, that's going to create that sexual chemistry? Hell no. No. So, what would happen if you allowed yourself to actually have a healthy relationship with you? Because that's what self-acceptance actually is. It's having that healthy relationship with yourself. It's being real with you. It's being able to go, cool, this is what I want in a relationship. This is what I feel comfortable about myself. This is what I feel good about. These are the aspects of myself that I might not be feeling as good about, but I know that I'm working with it, or I accept that part of who I am. And it's also being in a place where you feel fully self-reliant on yourself to actually feel good, rather than, you know, focusing on the validation of others. And this is where we kind of go back to, social media and doing things in order to get, you know, that superficial respect from other people. Which is not really respect, it's not really connection, it's nothing. All it is this big, massive, you know, arrow above your head going, I don't accept myself, please love me. So it's coming back to feeling good about you, building that healthy relationship with yourself. What do you want out of your life? You know, what do you need right in this present moment, right now, to feel good about you and your life? Perhaps if there's something that doesn't feel good in your life, that's something shouting out to you for a reason, because it's going, look, please change this. This doesn't feel good to us. This doesn't feel good for the life that we want to create. You know, it might be, oh, hang on, this part doesn't feel good because actually you need to heal it because you've been putting it. I think this is how my mum actually refers to some of her emotional baggage and trauma. She says that she puts it in a cardboard box and stuffs it away, you know. If you think of the mind being an attic, it's like, cool, yep, that's in a box now, put away, I'm not getting that out. And the thing is, if that's stuff that needs to be healed, it needs to be healed, okay? Please never, ever, 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 ever choose to avoid things that need to be healed. Okay, so it's just so important. Life's too short as well. And it also damages our connection with ourselves. And it also doesn't allow us to fully accept who we are. And also it stops other people connecting with us because we're not connected to ourselves. Okay, this is why this stuff is so important. This is why so many people aren't enjoying the relationship that they actually want or the love life that they actually want. This is why so many people aren't actually, just enjoying life in general. You know, how scary is that? That they're not enjoying life in the best possible way because they don't love themselves. They're not doing what's best for themselves. They don't fully accept who they are. So they're blaming, criticizing, pulling themselves down or avoiding themselves by keeping themselves ultra busy. And then they're wondering, why aren't they enjoying their relationships? Why aren't they enjoying dating? Why aren't they enjoying any aspect of their life? I know we're going pretty big for, you know, going into spark, you know, relationship sparks, but this is important. You know, this is all interconnected. And it's things that we don't talk about when it comes to actually what creates a healthy spark in a relationship. And I say healthy spark rather than the adrenaline junkie of doing something that's unsafe, not right, and it's a way of stopping yourself from feeling numb. I mean, I've been through that as well. It's quite fun. Where I've been in situations where I've acted out in impulsive ways and tricked myself or fooled myself for thinking that it's a spark. When actually it was just me acting out in order to feel something after going through a huge breakup that I wasn't expecting. And I've heard so many people do that in their relationships and their breakups. You know, it's something that's quite, I don't like the word normal, but it's something that, you know, a lot of people tend to do when they don't know what other coping mechanisms they can use that are actually healthy to support them to get out of that situation or deal with those emotions or process that so they can increase their connection with themselves, so they can actually live a happy and healthy life, you know, sooner rather than later, rather than doing the adrenaline junkie ways of, you know, trying to connect with people or avoid themselves even further. So, so kind of just a recap. Spark. Spark is all about being equals. Feeling like you've got that level of intimacy, that level of understanding, that level of attraction on that emotional, physical and mental level. Is, you know, when we're talking about, you know, longevity in a relationship, you also need compatibility as well as that spark. Because compatibility is the difference between being in a relationship that's long-term or short-term. And then in order to enjoy a healthy spark and a healthy relationship, is being comfortable with yourself, having that level of self-acceptance, that level of confidence, because that will support you to avoid codependency, avoiding unhealthy relationships, and also being reliant on other people to feel good about you. So this is why it's so important, because this is the difference between something that's healthy and unhealthy. And it always starts with that healthy relationship with you. And the other thing we spoke about was presence. You can't have a spark if you're not fully present within that relationship, within that dynamic. If you're so focused on the past, then there's obviously things that need to be healed. If you're so focused on the future, then you're creating dissociation with yourself by keeping yourself busy and stopping yourself from feeling how you actually feel. So there are a few things to really look into when it comes to, you know, creating that spark in a relationship or meeting someone and dating and finding that spark whilst you are dating. Because it's the most beautiful experience. You know, if I think about, you know, my relationship or different dating and different dates that I've been on that had that level of spark, you know, it's beautiful. It's giggly, it's flirty, there's desire there. You feel good, you feel confident, you feel engaged in conversation. You feel curious about discovering more about each other. You know, you feel energized, and time just moves so quickly whilst you're enjoying that with someone, especially when you see that they're enjoying that time with you too. I mean, how gorgeous is that? You know, and when we talk about that kind of feeling and being in that moment, is there anything more intimate than that? Feeling fully accepted and desired and wanted, and, you know, feeling that level of attraction emotionally, mentally, physically, feeling curious and having the space to be able to explore each other in all different ways. It's pretty glorious. It's pretty amazing. So don't deny yourself of that. Don't avoid that. Don't, you know, stop yourself from fully accepting who you are, what you want out of life. Because everyone deserves to enjoy a spark with their relationship. Everyone deserves to enjoy that level of chemistry. Because life's too short to not enjoy that. Life's way too short. So remember to give yourself that. And be real. Be real to you. Discover the truth of who you are. What you want out of life. What you want out of a relationship. And own that and feel comfortable with that and strive for that. Because,
you know, as I always say, everyone deserves real, honest, and genuine love that lasts. But not everyone knows how to get it. But now you've got a little bit more of an insight than anyone else right now on how to start to enjoy that. One thing I'd say is, if you haven't listened to it already, check out my episode on self-sabotage. Because that episode, I really enjoyed putting that one together. But number two, I really dive into how to experience self-acceptance. And I do share a little bit about my journey around that personally, because I find that sometimes sharing my story can help people relate to their story, you know, of what you might have been through, what you might have struggled with, different thought patterns that you've gone through, that you've wondered, oh, is this normal? You know, and it can be something that's very healing for you to be able to go through. And the other thing is, don't be afraid to get help. I mean, goodness, if I think about my journey, you know, I've had so many different mentors, I've had different coaches, I've gone on different trainings, I've been on different programs and courses, I've done a lot of my own research, you know, I've gone through my own experiences. And that's something that's been able to support me to get where I am today, where I'm able to help other people too. And, you know, I love what Albert Einstein says, where it's something on the lines of, and bear in mind, I'm terrible at quotes, by the way. But he says something on the lines of, he is so grateful for the knowledge of the people that came before him, because it means that he got to stand on the shoulders of giants. And I really love that, because it's true. You know, if you're able to take information from people who have explored this in a deeper manner, or people who have, you know, you think about all the information on relationships and self-acceptance and everything that's been accumulated today, you know, that's a lot of information to be able to understand that's going to put you for, you know, even further forward than most people were 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 50 years ago. You know, so it's being able to utilize that information to propel yourself forward so you can enjoy a better life and a better love life. So, I'm going to love you and leave you. Have an amazing day, and I'll catch up with you in the next episode. Bye for now.
Thank you for joining us on the Love with Intelligence radio show. I'm so grateful that you joined us today, and I'm also so grateful that you are dedicating your time to improve your love life. So, as you are already on this journey, would it be crazy for you to jump over to our website, lovewithintelligence.com, and check out our many resources that's going to support you to enjoy your dream love life now? So that's lovewithintelligence.com, and I shall see you next time. Bye for now.